Welcome back to Latter-day Radio here on 1430 KLO World Class Talk. I'm Greg Girard, and I'm here with Jonathan Neville, our guest for the day. Earlier, we were talking about his theory that the events described in the Book of Mormon took place in the upper Midwest of the U.S., not in Mesoamerica, and it has generated some controversy. But as you explained them to me, a lot of things made sense in regards to the prophetic statements of Joseph and Oliver and many others. Now you have a question you're posing that you put as a title of a book, Whatever Happened to the Golden Plates? So Jonathan, we're all ears. What did happen to the Golden Plates?
Okay. Well, the traditional story that we've all been taught was that Joseph Smith found a set of gold plates in the Hill Cumorah in a stone box that had been prepared by Moroni 1,400 years earlier. And the box is really interesting as a side note that they said the box was constructed with stone and cement. And so the only known Nephite cement that we have is in the Hill Cumorah, New York. All the rest of the speculation about cement is ambivalent. You could say it's in Central America, North America, whatever, but the only known Nephite cement we have is on that hill in New York. So he got this set of plates. He ended up taking them down to Harmony, Pennsylvania to stay with his father-in-law, and then he and Emmett moved into a little house of their own there. And that's where he translated the first 116 pages that Martin Harris lost. And then the following year, Oliver Cowdery came down, and they translated from the Book of Mosiah through the end of Moroni and the title page in harmony. And then they went up to Fayette, New York, where David Whitmer lived with his father, and translated 1 Nephi through Words of Mormon up there. And so the traditional narrative was that all these plates were in the box in the Hill Cumorah that Moroni constructed.
And somewhere along the line, 116 pages of the translated works were lost.
Right. And there's some discussion about whether it was really 116 pages or not, which we don't need to get into. But it's all always been referred to as the 116 pages, which reflected Mormon's abridgment of the original Book of Lehi,
which was in the big plates.
Right. And so that was in the set of abridged plates. Well, one thing that I do when I approach an issue is if I have competing theories, I try to see which theory predicts what we discover best. And so in this case, if the Hill Cumorah is in New York versus the Hill Cumorah being in Mesoamerica, which of those scenarios explains what happened in church history? And let me give you an example that kind of led to my conclusion that there are actually two different sets of plates, that the plates Joseph got from Moroni were not the only plates that he translated. What happened is when Joseph Smith was in Harmony, Pennsylvania, when he was using the Urim and Thummim, he looked on the plates one day, and instead of having the translation given to him, he received a commandment to write to David Whitmer to tell him to come and pick them up, him and Oliver. And so Oliver Cowdery knew David Whitmer. Joseph had never met him, but Oliver Cowdery knew him. So Oliver wrote to David Whitmer and said, "Can you come pick us up?" And these accounts are pretty well known in church history. There's some new films about them and so forth, so I won't get into the detail. But before they left Harmony, Joseph gave the place to a divine messenger. Then when they left, David Whitmer came down, picked them up. They left on the wagon. They were heading up to Fayette, and they met a guy on the side of the road. And David Whitmer stopped and asked him if he wanted a ride to Fayette. And the man said, "No, I'm going to Cumorah." David Whitmer had never heard of Cumorah. He grew up in that area. He did business with the farms in the area. He'd never heard of Cumorah. He didn't know what the guy was talking about. So he turned to Joseph, and Joseph later said that this was the messenger who was taking the plates with him to Cumorah. And when I read that account, I thought, that doesn't make any sense. Because if they were translating the plates in Harmony, and they were going to translate them in Fayette, why would this divine messenger be taking them to the Hill Cumorah? It just didn't fit. And so I researched a little bit more, and it turns out David Whitmer had related this event several times. And one of the times was to Elder Joseph F. Smith, who made a formal report to the Quorum of the Twelve about his interview with David Whitmer and included this account of meeting the messenger who was going to Cumorah. And he said that David Whitmer remembered this because it was the first time he'd ever heard the word Kimura. Of course, at the time, the only two people who had heard the word Kimura were Joseph and Oliver, because they had just translated the last chapters of the Book of Mormon where the Hill Kimura is talked about. So I started thinking, well, why would the messenger take these plates to Kimura? And that's when it dawned on me that the depository, Mormon's depository of original plates from all the Nephite records, was in the Hill Kimura. And Joseph had finished translating all the plates he'd gotten from Moroni. The Lord told him in Doctrine and Covenants section 10 that he was going to have to translate the plates of Nephi. And the key point here to understand is Joseph did not have the plates of Nephi. All he had was Mormon's abridgment supplemented by Moroni.
You're talking big plates?
Well, we call them the small plates now.
Okay.
If you recall the title page, well, this is interesting too. And I know this is a lot of detail. That's why I ended up writing a whole book about it to explain all the detail. But there's a couple of key points you can understand here on the radio and think about. Number one is the title page, Joseph said, was the last leaf of the plates. And he translated that in harmony. So he had translated all the plates to the end in harmony. And then he gave these plates to this divine messenger who took them to Kimura, which makes sense because Joseph was finished with those plates.
He wanted them out of his hands.
Well, one idea is that he didn't want to transport them because he didn't want to get robbed or something. But the main point is he was finished with them. I mean, there's nothing more to do. The Lord said, don't go back and translate the plates of Lehi, the first part that was lost in the 116 pages. So he had nothing else to do with them. So then what I realized was when you read the title page, it tells you what was in those plates that Moroni put in the stone box. It says it was an abridgment of the record of the Nephites, abridgment of the record of the Jaredites, and then it was sealed by Moroni, meaning he added his little commentary at the end, including the Book of Ether. And that was it. There is no mention of any original plates whatsoever. And yet, we know that the Book of Mormon we have today had First Nephi through the words of Mormon. That was a translation of original plates. Those were not abridged plates. They were not mentioned in the title page. And so they could not have been in the place that Moroni put in the Hill Kimura.
I see.
So this messenger took the original plates, I call them the harmony plates because they were all translated in harmony, took them back to the depository in the Hill Kimura, picked up the small plates there, and brought those to Fayette. And that's why Joseph Smith translated the small plates in Fayette and not the abridgment.
Okay.
So another way to look at it is, there were harmony plates and Fayette plates, two completely different sets of plates.
They had never been together.
They'd never been together. Now, people always say, well, wait a minute, writing words of Mormon, Mormon says that he put the plates with the other plates. But a couple of verses later, he says King Benjamin put those same plates with his plates, and yet Mormon had to search all through the records to find them. So that phrase, to put with, does not mean to attach. And he used the small plates of Nephi to guide his abridgment, as he says in Words of Mormon, so that he could show that all the prophecies were fulfilled and so forth.
So he's thumbing through the small plates while he's writing on the big plates.
Exactly.
He's looking at, well, there's something. Now we call that copy and paste.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for us these days, isn't it?
Copy and paste. It was also, he knew that Nephi had predicted certain things to happen, and he wanted to make sure he showed that those things actually happened.
And Nephi said a couple of times, both Nephi, Mormon, and Moroni said, I don't know why I'm including this in here, but I know it's for a wise purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the Lord has the ability, talking about God the Father, has the ability to look into the future and plan for our salvation accordingly.
Well, and for a long time, people thought that those passages you're referring to refer to Martin Harris losing the 116 pages. But that doesn't make sense for all kinds of reasons, philosophical as well as practical. Instead, the wise purpose was that Mormon was using those small plates to show in his abridgment that all the prophecies have been fulfilled. That's what they were referring to.
Okay.
So, and there's a lot more detail in this about the words of Mormon and how much of it we think was from the part left over from the 116 pages. Mm-hmm. So we won't get into that right now. The key point that people need to understand is that there were two different sets of plates. There was the harmony plates that Joseph got from Moroni, from the stone box, and there were the Fayette plates that he got from the messenger that had been in the depository in the Hill Cumorah. And this is just yet another validation, so to speak, or another way to show that Oliver Cowdery was correct in letter 7 when he talked about the Hill Cumorah being right there in New York. This is another way he knew that that was the case.
Because he was in the wagon.
He was right there. Yeah, he met the guy too. He saw the messenger. And then later, Joseph said he got the Fayette plates from the messenger in a garden up there in Fayette. The guy brought them over. He showed them to David Whitmer's mother, so she was one of the witnesses of the plates. But these were the plates of Nephi, not the abridged plates of Mormon that she would have seen and that Joseph had there in Fayette.
Excuse me, these are things that Oliver was not speculating right. about, firsthand knowledge of them.
Exactly. And there's a lot more evidence that this is what happened that, again, we don't have time to get into right now on the radio, but there it's an exciting development in church history because it ties up a lot of loose ends. Some of the early critics were saying that, well, the plates couldn't be real because people described them differently. They said they had different weights. Some said 40 pounds, some 60 pounds, some had different dimensions. That all makes perfect sense if they were seeing different sets of plates, which I think they were.
Hand me your book there so I can just take a look at the title. The title of your book is called What Happened to the Golden Plates?
Whatever Happened.
Oh, Whatever Happened to the Golden Plates? And you're selling it for, what's the price on there?
The price depends on where you buy it. There's digital versions, there's printed versions.
I see.
I don't deal with the marketing part of it. But the other thing is I tried to reduce the cost as much as possible by putting a lot of references online. So if you read the book, you can send an email. There's an automated thing that'll send you the additional references that if I had put in the book, it would have been twice as long. But I also, on my webpage, I have a diagram that explains how this all happened. In my presentations, I do it. And I think it's becoming more and more accepted because of all the loose ends in church history that it ties up.
Okay, well, thank you, Jonathan. We've come to the end of this segment here on Latter-day Radio. I'm sure they could go to your website and take a closer look at it, which
sure.
is where?
Moroni's America is the name of the main website.
.com?
Yeah, moronisamerica.com.
Well, we'll be back here on Latter-day Radio after these brief announcements here on 1430 KLO.